Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still. Where nature is harsh and demanding. Where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my land.
Took it in the guts, Barry.
Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel, and thank you very much for the Talk Back with Attitude team. You should get onto their Facebook page to check out all the drama that happened in the studio. Of course, lucky. There was a description as they were on radio. As you have obviously become aware, it has its limitations. Today we're going to go to Sadin Selkik. He's put out a new film called My Heart Bled Like Niagara Falls. It's the most amazing film, I have to say. Every film that Sadin makes is amazing. And he is originally from Bosnia, came to Australia because of the wars, and his fantastic look and creations in the filmic vocabulary are just sublime, I'll have to say. And this particular one is one of features John Flaus, the wonderful John Flaus. Now, John Flaus has got older and, in fact, is now in award in for failing mental capacity, actually, dementia, dementia ward up in Castlemaine. But this does not stop them from making a major and influential feature film. So I had a chat with Sadin about this new film, My Heart Bled Like Niagara Falls. Before we do, I suppose before we start listening to my chat, we should remind everybody, all the listeners, that Melbourne International Film Festival starts today. So you're either going to go out live to the theatre or you're going to be glued to the screens, because there's an online version of some of the films that are on offer at the Melbourne International Film Festival, the biggest film festival in Melbourne. So I just thought I'd enlighten you. It runs for a number of weeks. Keep alert. Have a look at the program. And you will be surprised at the variation and depth of this year's program. All right, so we'll start off with my chat with Sadin Selkik, one of the most riveting filmmakers in Australia.
So let's talk about My Heart Bled Like Niagara Falls. It's a fantastic title, and it's quite clearly about what it's like to fall into a demented state as one gets older.
Yes, Annie, thank you. Well, you know, I think it's kind of much more than that for me in a way. It is about that, you know, ultimate dissolution, and but it's about life, you know. It's really about this epic, grand story about life, and you know, and what it consists of, and what happens as you dissolve at that time, you know, and you at that age, which is, you know, a progressed age. It's sort of about a lot of things. I was writing that, we were talking, that quite possibly it's probably the only feature film in cinema history where the main and only character never gets up from a chair, you know. And it's sort of written in five acts, and each act is sort of covering a different topic of a human emotional spectrum, you know, and what happened, you know. It's about a lot of things for me. It's really about a lot of things. At some points, it's very personal and intimate for me, deeply. And as I said, it's also very emotional, you know. And, so it's kind of hard for me to even talk about it in some context. But yeah, the title, thank you. The title is one of the best I've could, you know, one that vindicates a lot of what I've felt, you know, and how one lives his life and what, you know. So my heart bled like Niagara Falls. That's all I can tell you.
Well, yeah. Well, it's about John Flouse as the lead character.
Yes.
How involved was John in the making of the text and the drama of the film?
Well, this is very funny. But by the way, we should mention that we have tried to get John on within this interview, but we for technical reasons we couldn't. John was everything was written. Everything was written, and the film was filmed in this is a shocking information probably for a lot of people, in just over 3 hours. At the whole film was filmed in just over 3 hours in his room. At the ward, the Alzheimer's ward where he's staying. And I would tell him the line right before I would film it. Each line was told to him. That's how we've been working on films since Mr. Cripes Blimey, I think, which was a feature that I made 2 years ago, I think, with him, or early last year. And so I would tell him the line, and he would deliver it. But he was so great to work with him. I mean, I'm going to miss working with him so much, because he's such a generous actor, you know, and he takes direction so well. And you know, my directions are, I mean, there's a lot of background material, probably for some film historians of the future that would be interesting. There's a lot of, you know, things that have been obviously cut out of the movie of me telling him the lines and all the interactions and everything that happens during the filming of all of these films, really, especially the three ones that we worked on it that way, since Captain Crook and Mr. Cripes Blimey, and then My Heart Bled Like Niagara Falls. So yeah, but it was just so fun, and you can see it from the back tapes, you know. You can just see how much fun it was, and how much fun I'm having, really, working with him, and he's having. And yeah, but everything was told him in every, you know, every detail. And he would come out, he would say something, and then if it's all right, I would keep a few things. But then when I would get him back on track and with the dialogue that was written, and then each act was filmed chronologically. So the first act, second act, third, fourth, and fifth act, they were all filmed chronologically, as I said, in about three hours and a little few more minutes than that, yeah, in Castlemaine.
Well, it's full of drama. It's full of drama. The way you move the camera, the way you splice certain things together, the way how expressive his face is and his hand. I was watching it, and my eyes were just wide open as I was engaged in the film. It's incredibly full of drama.
Thank you so much, Annie. Thank you. And that's right. That means a lot, because it is a cinema language that I have evolved into that style, really. You know, the premise is pretty, you know, the context. Imagine a feature film where a man never gets, the main and only character never gets from a chair. And as you said, this is so full of drama. There's so much. It's you know, it's so intense and so emotional and in many and so funny for me. Like when I was making it, and as I was watching it first few times, I was laughing, could not stop laughing, you know, especially at the first act, which is, you know, or a second one. It was just a humorous, you know, act. So you got a lot of humor and a lot of deep emotions and a lot of, you know, mystery and thrilling things. And this all happens in a film where the main character never gets up from a chair, you know, an only character.
Like you say, it's about huge things, big things, but then you invest quite mystical properties to very straightforward objects like doors and...
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, it's really amazing. Cinema is it's just so grand and you know, makes one almost, well, me, I think, as I speak of it now and think of it, I am almost, you could burst into tears, you know, because it is really one of those great things that I have been able to hold on in life, you know, and that has offered me and gave me so much, you know, and let me into itself and sort of allowed me to you know, expand it in that way. Exactly. Yeah. Because everything is, you know, everything is a mystery, even though there's this mainstream media and all this, all these horrific things that are happening around, you know, they're really trying to do everything to banalize life, you know, and to make it, you know, everything but mystical, and life is very mystical, and everything is mystical, however much they're trying to dumb it down, you know. And life is much more than that, much more mystical, much more grand, and so is the cinema and cinema language, you know, that uncovers those things about life. And I'm talking about this film specifically, for example, you know. So that's interesting, yeah.
We know you love listening to 3CR, but we also know that many of you haven't downloaded the Community Radio Plus app yet.
The app lets you tune in anywhere and share the station with your friends.
So, show the love and share the love and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Hi. My name is Rolf De Heer. I don't live in Melbourne. I live across the water in Tasmania. But if I did live in Melbourne, my number one radio station would be 3CR because it's about community, and community matters.
And you're with Annie on this showreel on your 3CR community radios. And I'm in the middle of a chat with Sadine Selkirk. My Heart Bled Like Niagara Falls is the film we're talking about. It centres on John Flowers, who is a Alzheimer's patient, and the film itself is just absolutely amazing, as all of Sadine's films are. And this is the next part of that conversation.
One of the things that's really important, of course, is the sound and what you do with the sound. Talk to me about that and what you're aiming to do there.
Oh, you know, it was quite interesting. You know, when you're making a film, the hardest thing is to get it on its feet, and you usually have to do it within, you know, first 5 minutes, sometimes 10, you know, within the first 5 minutes, you have to do it, and if you can get it done on the first shot, you know, the opening shot, that's when you sort of, you can ride that wave, you know, and for that. For me, everything needs to click. The sound needs to be, it sort of comes from my bones, you know, really. And the film is alive in me so much that it's sort of bursting, and the sound is a great part of it. It leads it. And it is, you know, and those are the aspects when he's banging at the table,
yeah,
and screaming, "Why am I not in this paper?" You know, I was a governor general, you know, who is this weasel? Why am I not in here? You know, it's, and all those things, annotations, you know, they just overtakes you, and there's a rhythm, and then you realize, well, there are many thousands of ways to tell a story and to say one single thing, you know, and within that, and the sound is used to carry it, really. Sound is the greatest part of cinema, you know. It's most likely, you know, as I think I said this when we talked about Last Days of Loneliness many years ago, just 3 years ago, but it really seems like many years ago. You know, the cinema is only visual at the first glance, you know, and because it's such a wide medium. Yeah. And deep.
Given that you have over time, and I've watched several of your films, there's a certain elements of visuals, like the moving sky, for example, and the derelict building, have become similes or metaphors in your work. Is that right?
Yes, they have.
Oh, and the bombs.
Yes. Well, that's a really interesting, because you know, the film tells a few different stories, and the deep, you know, deep aspect of this trauma that this character has, you know, that we introduce with that context of that, and what has happened to him, something had, you know, had happened to him, and obviously a lot of things have happened to him. That is one of the things, you know, and then the aspects of deep, profound loneliness that he's experiencing, and the loss of power, the ultimate and utter loss of power, as you get that old, because you have nothing to hold on to. Once you lose your memory, you lose the track of, I don't know what you're able to feel, you know, and then he's trying to get something to hold on to and to feel something, and obviously we uncovering, as the film goes on, we uncovering what's actually happened to him, and you get an act in the film that uncovers what's actually happened to him. He says, I see a boy in front of a happy home. I was that boy. And he says, I see a ruined home. That was my home, and so on and so on. So we uncover these different layers of this character, and it was incredible to write it, you know. I mean, when you think about it, I have a problem with you know, I used to have a, you know, thinking about great things one does. I have a problem with actually thinking about that patting myself on the back. I kind of never do that, but maybe I should learn to do that more, and maybe get more a bit more vain to keep me entertained, because I never do that. But when you look at that, when you think about that character, and you've seen the film, it's just so much this character has, you know, written about him and in him, you know, he's so many things. It's almost hard to begin talking about that, you know.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, because now we're talking, it really does, this filmmaking reflects, and this subject reflects on language and meaning entirely, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Look, what is language? I mean, you can say that language in its ordinary shape is a horrible thing, you know, I think, in its linguistic form. It's a horrible thing, source of evil, and it has been for many years. Not only has it been a tool of delivering the evil ideas, so-called, and all the other things, but it has also been the source of evil in itself, the way things are explained. You know, people say, for example, for the soil, for the ground, the grandest substance in the universe, the soil, they call it dirt, you know, and then that's the evil in the language itself, that then reflects on how they treat this sublime substance in the universe called soil, you know, what's the relationship to it. They do treat it as dirt. They go around, blow it up, and so on, all the part of capitalist intentions, fascist capitalist intentions. So the language as such, and another grand thing that have used language for is to differentiate themselves from the animals, you know, to find some sort of sense of supremacy towards every other living being in the universe, in the world, you know, that they've found the language as one of their great achievements, which makes them so superior than anybody else, therefore they can, you know, dominate and destroy. So the language has to evolve very much, and the morality of language must be its guiding light. But this also then is relevant to the cinema, language of cinema, you know. So it's one of the greatest languages that you know that I have encountered, and I've certainly enjoyed evolving. And I think this film in some way is really a great example of that for me, you know, just the way, the rhythm of the film, the as you said, the angles, the speed of it, the dynamism of it, the mysticism that's coming from it, combined with sound and these emotions. And it was great to write these lines of dialogue for John to tell them, you know.
Yeah, it's great dialogue. It's great dialogue.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I was going to say was it took you 3 hours to shoot it. Binding it together, it's almost symphonic in a way. So I was wondering how long did it take?
Thank you, Annie. Well, you're right. It took me some time, even me. You know, I sat there and I didn't rush. It took me, this might not sound much, but it took me perhaps a week, of intense, committed editing. Because when you look at this film, for a film of, just a feature film, 52 minutes, there's almost what seems like 1,000 cuts in it,
it's like a symphony, like I said, it's a piece of poetry.
Oh my goodness, Annie, thank you so much. I'm going to have to put that quote on the poster or something for the film. You know, it's a symphony. That's a great line. And we'll sign you on it, of course. Yeah, wow. Thank you. It's been gratifying. You know, something has been achieved deep inside of me. Something has been said, with this film. And the ending is one of my favorite bits, obviously with the monologue that opens it, says, something's happened to me. He says something's gripped on me, something with slimy hands, and lines like something turned me. Something turned me gray, and I'm not free like the sea, and all those lines. And I do like all of them. I was thinking about the one, something turned me gray, because this really is quite an interesting thing. You're sitting, in time, in the wind, and something around you is just turning you gray. And I wrote about this in some piece of prose that I was writing at some point. I said, this man sitting on a bench and everything is, and he's getting older and older, and everything around him is rejuvenating every spring, except him, and he's probably pissed off about all this on some level, because he watches everything around him in spring, rejuvenated and reborn, and he's sitting there getting something turning him gray. And I say there must be some anger about that, and some sort of, human subconsciousness, perhaps even collective human subconsciousness, if such thing exists, about this. It's like, where is my spring? What's happened to me in the spring? And the springs are beautiful. I keep romanticizing about spring, but we don't see them here. And when you think about them in Europe, in Bosnia, for example, you have this long, hard, harrowing winter for some people. I love the winter, but, 3 months or 4 months sometimes. And then you would see this drastic, huge change. Everything would bloom and blossom. And that would do something to your body and to your consciousness. Here we are sort of dulled down in that way. I miss that deeply, because you do get rejuvenated maybe with every spring, and that dramatic sort of visual spring that happens over there.
You've finished this film and we're talking about it. Where are you going to take this film?
Well, this film has already had some great there's an essay sort of booked or announced about the film in the Census of Cinema next issue, which is sort of a big deal. It's probably too early to mention this, but the third side in Sarkic Film Festival is happening on the 10th of November this year in the same spot, Library at the Dock. It's a Sunday. There's a great potential to screen it there, but they also have obligation to screen Captain Crook at some point, which is another film and different, but quite epic also. But that's it. And I'm going to send this film around, and I was just thinking about some people to just now to email them and tell them about this film and see what we can do, because it's a, yeah. So we'll see. But certainly on at least a special screening at in November at Sydney Selkirk Film Festival. And in the meantime, we'll see what happens.
And the remarkable filmmaker, Sydney Selkirk, My Heart Bled Like Niagara Falls. So look out for it. On the podcast, I'll put the link to the Sense of Cinema essay. Absolutely remarkable film and a remarkable filmmaker. We're lucky to have him. Coming up next is Published or Not. We'll go out with Perfection, A Delicta.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.